Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
So we are looking at the subject of spiritual gifts, but of course, you know how we got here. We said there are three levels of giftings. The first level of giftings or gifts are the resources that you have, like your money and your properties. That's the first level of giftings you have. So you have resources that you can give out to provoke something. Maybe favor, maybe access, or whatever it is. That's the first level. So if I give you ₦1,000, if I give you a car, it's a gift. It came out of my resources. The second level of giftings, I said, they are talents and charismas. I can come here now, and I have a gift to make people laugh. And I crack a joke. And even those who are depressed suddenly get excited. They forget about their pains. I can have the gift of playing badminton. 1,000 people can be playing. When I show up and play, I can play it and earn dollars, millions of dollars. In the world today, people are fighting over two footballers. Meanwhile, there are thousands of footballers. Their giftings stood them out. And sometimes I look at the fanatism and I'm wondering, are these people okay? There's destiny, there's eternity. You are fighting Ronaldo and Messi. What is your challenge? These guys have made their millions. They have served their generation in their own capacity. You are here killing yourself. Do you know people were stabbed in studios, football studios, because of this fight? But that's the power of giftings. It can make people sell themselves to you forever and ever. But it came from your talents. It came from your charismas. It came from your soulish build-ups. Because God planted a lot of things in us when He created us. The Bible said you were fearfully and wonderfully made. And then number three, we said they are spiritual gifts. The first two levels of giftings are natural. You don't need the Holy Ghost to manifest a talent. Some people drink alcohol in order to become funny. Some people drink a very strong spirit for them to go and do a particular gift. Maybe some gymnastics. They want to do some stunts. They need to be high. They don't need the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing? They just provoke themselves. Some needs to be spoken to. When you speak to them, they charge up. And some you need to anchor on their ego. When their pride is involved, they begin to do wonders. Because you told the guy you will not score a goal in this match. He feels insulted. Me? No problem. He will say, it's okay. He will enter the match. When he scores 4, then he will come back and open his jersey like this. Why always me? You don't need the Holy Ghost. It's what? A natural gift. So there are giftings that are resource based. There are giftings that are at the level of your talent and your charisma. And then there are giftings that are spiritual. When a gift is spiritual, it means the Holy Ghost is the one who rules and determines how it's operated. So it operates within the sphere of spirit reality. So these are the three levels of giftings. And we said, whichever level you are operating in, know that there are benefits. Because giftings are very powerful. In fact, in my own study, There are three things that makes you relevant in life. And you become so relevant that there's nothing anybody can do about it. Number one is the presence of God. When the presence of God is on your life, even Pharaoh will go down. Nothing can stop you. You can walk through the wilderness and walk in abundance. Your shoe will grow with you. Everything you need will meet you in the wilderness there because you are under the presence. That's what Moses carried. And Moses defied nations, kings, and every opposition you can think of, including natural disasters, because of the presence. The second thing that comes upon your life that makes you relevant regardless of opposition is the word of God. When you live by the word of God is a weapon. The Bible said all things were created by the word. So even if what you are looking for is not there, the word can produce it. And when the word produces, it doesn't stop. It says all things are sustained by the word of his power. So the word has the authority to create. It also has the authority to sustain. So when the word of God is in your life, and it's in your life richly, it can make you become anything. And then the third thing that makes you relevant, regardless of opposition, are the giftings that you have. A gifted man is an attractive man. When you carry a gift, even your enemies will have no choice but to relate with you. Somebody, I heard one of the histories we heard was during the Biafran War. They said they paused for 2 days for Pelé of Brazil to come and play a match in Nigeria. Those of you who are football fans, you can verify. Imagine brothers killing themselves. They now say, no, Pelé wants to come and play football match. They say, let's stop. They stop and they came and played match. They watched. The third day, they started fighting again. So when a man, you see the life of Solomon. David fought 66 battles. When Solomon showed up with wisdom, he didn't fight one. He enjoyed the same peace that David will enjoy after fighting. Because giftings are that powerful. So we say, whichever type of gift you have, make sure you nurture it. Because the benefits of giftings cannot be overemphasized. And I listed 6 benefits for us. Number one, I said that your gift will make room for you. Proverbs 18 verse 16. It says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. So where you are standing in life and how much you occupy is a direct function of the excellency of your gift. Why many are crying that there is scarcity, some are living in abundance. The difference is in the sharpness of their giftings. You know the Bible said, the Gentiles shall come to you. It says kings will come to the brightness. That is what you carry. We attract even kings. So it can create room for you even in the wilderness. Number two, we said the second benefit of a gift is that it brings favor. Proverbs 19 verse 6. This is why giftings are important. Some of the people you say you love, you don't really love them. It's what they carry. It says many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend of him that giveth gifts. So the level of favor that royals enjoy, it says when you have a gift, you enjoy that favor. So you too start operating like a prince because there's a gift on your life. Why do you think some of these gifted guys, they go to nations where they have no biological tie, they are not citizens, but they are treated like monarchs? It's because of the gift they have. They don't love them. Some of them have very poor attitude, very terrible character. But when they come, they still attract favor that overshadows their poor character. Now, develop character. Don't say what they are. Don't hear what you are not saying. Develop character. But I'm saying when you have giftings and they are sharp enough, even your character can be overshadowed. That's the power of giftings. Number three, we say gifts avert anger. Proverbs 21 verse 14. You see that? Gifts avert anger. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. So when a man shows up with a gift, anger can be shifted away. This was what Jacob projected when he came before Esau. He took Esau's birthright, ran away. Esau was angry, wanted to kill him. When Jacob was coming back, Genesis 33 verse 10 and 20, the Bible told us the strategy he used. He deployed gifts. Sheep were going ahead. Goats were following. Camels were following. Then his family was following. And then he was coming at the back. He said, when he come, he will lie down and say, your servant. How did you become my servant? You stole my birthright. Now you are coming with hypocrisy that you are my servant. But the guy knew something. Even though my hypocrisy is glaring, this gift will do something to my brother's wrath. And when he saw gift upon gift coming, he started, where's my brother? Where's my brother? No, forget those things. It's over. No, it's the language of gift that is working. No matter how angry somebody is with you, show up with a gift. They will look at you. Are you? Why did you do that? Don't do that kind of thing next time. You can't behave like that. It's well, no challenge. Coming. What's that? Bring it. That's the power of gifting. It pacifies what? Anger. Number four, a gift makes you a blessing. Luke 4:18. Jesus was strolling for 30 years. Nobody cared until the Holy Ghost came upon him. And immediately, both Jesus and the people knew that he was a gift. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Immediately, he became a gift. Everywhere Jesus went to, the multitudes followed him, because he had become a gift. Number four, a gift is a tool for impact. You cannot be impactful unless there is a gift on your life. Check all the people making impact. They are manifesting one gift or the other. From resourceful giftings to potentials that are soulish to spiritual giftings. You must be impactful. Anywhere you go and they are singing people's names or nations are resonating around people, there's a gift at work there. That's what provokes impact. Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 3. Arise, shine, your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And he went further. Gentiles shall come to thy light. They don't come to you. They come to your gift. And he said, kings come to the brightness of your rising. So the reason your generation will hear you and submit to you is because there's a gift on your life. And number six, I said giftings are a means of preservation. When a man has a gift, even his enemy will fight to defend him. The other time, there was something that was noised abroad, and those of us who are spiritual men, our attention was drawn to it. What was the thing? Cristiano Ronaldo scored a goal in Saudi Arabia, and he made sign of the cross in a stadium where over 30,000 were watching. If it was not Ronaldo, before he reached his home, they would have burnt it. And then they would have killed him. Let the worst happen. But because of the gift, the sheikh and the emir will come and say, it's okay. He doesn't understand the way we do things here. Leave him. When you are gifted, your enemies will fight to defend you. Because although they don't love you, they want to keep seeing what you are manifesting. That's how gifts work. It creates a wall of defense around your life. John 2, verse 23 and 24. And there are lots of scriptures. He said, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast, he said, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did. The moment they saw it, they believed in the miracles. And he said, Jesus did not commit himself to them, for he knew what was in man. So Jesus knew these people don't love him. It's my gift that has made them suddenly become my friend. If they had their way, they would kill me. But because he's doing miracles, if somebody raises somebody from the dead and your own relative is dead, if they want to kill him, will you allow it? Let him raise my relative first. He opened somebody's deaf ear. Your mother is deaf. And they say, we will kill this man. You will pull your shirt. You can't touch him. This man is the ticket to my mother's deaf ear. If you kill him, my mother will be deaf. So he will fight for him so that he can do something. That's how gifts work. So, by all means, sharpen your gift and make sure your giftings produce results and command influence. It will change your life forever. Most of us are where we are because our giftings are not speaking. If your gifts begin to speak, somebody will call you and say, please come. This place you are living is not good. Come, take this house. It doesn't love you. It's your gift that is commanding that level of compliance. So if you want your life to change, don't beg people around. Face your gift, sharpen it. When your gift becomes sharp, all that you need will meet you. I told you before here, don't go about carrying sympathetic face. begging everybody, hey, please help me. Some people, you greet them, good afternoon. They say, good afternoon. Trying to make you feel sympathetic. Stop those things. Go and sharpen your gift. When your gift becomes sharp, even when you don't greet, they'll greet you. Don't live this beggarly life. It won't take you anywhere. So these are the benefits of gifts. Now, because our focus is spiritual, we are not looking at resources, we are not looking at charisma, we are looking at spiritual gifts. And so we started with spiritual gifts, and then we said there are three categories of spiritual gifts. The first category of spiritual gifts is what we call spiritual offices, or the ascension gifts. Ephesians 4 verse 8. Can you salute Apostle Emmanuel Ever? I forgot to greet him, but his gift is compelling me to salute him. Can you salute my brothers, the twin evangelists, Davidson and Dixon? These are some of the guys that have brought amazement to my life in recent time. When you look at them, you don't know who they are. The first time they came to me, they say, we are evangelists. I say, okay. And we started talking. They say, God, led them to submit to me. I said, let's pray. And now I parted them. I said, go and do some things and come back. So when they went, the now it was Pastor Sunday they spoke to. They now showed me some of the things they were doing, the little things they were doing. When they showed me the little things, I called them back. Say, come. Who did you say you? What's your name again? Every week they are doing crusades, and thousands of people are gathered. That's not the wonder. The wonder is that sometimes they do crusades with 50,000 naira. And they will win 6,000 souls. I say, no, this one is not ordinary. There's something on your life. Let's guide you. Let's manage it and make you become more impactful. So these are strong men. They have some gifts. Salute them. So spiritual gifts are divided into three categories. We have what? Offices. And we also call them ascension gifts. Ephesians 4 verse 8, it says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So it was when he ascended that he gave these gifts. That's why we call them ascension gifts. And we also call them offices because the giftings are actually in the form of offices. Offices that build the body of Christ. In verse 11 of this scripture, he outlined them. He said, number one, are apostles. Number two, prophets. Number three, evangelists. Number four, pastors, and then teachers. So these are the five giftings that we call ascension gifts. And they are also offices. Their purpose is to build the body of Christ. Not everybody is in this category. He said he gave it to some. So it's not to everybody. And it also went further to say, this some that he gave them to build the body of Christ. So there is the body of Christ that they build, and there are those of them who are set apart as a gift to the body. So this is the first dimension of spiritual gifts. It's Jesus himself that calls men into these offices and make them a gift to the body of Christ. The second category of spiritual gifts are what we call the gifts of the Spirit, or what we call the manifestations of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. You see how the Bible puts it. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. And then he went to verse 8. He said, for to one is given. He started listing them. Number one, word of wisdom. Number two, word of knowledge. Number three, gift of faith. Number four, workings of miracles. Number five, gifts of healing. Number six, prophecy. Number seven, discerning of spirits. Number eight, speaking in diverse kinds of tongues. And number nine, interpretation of tongues. Nine of them, they are called the manifestation of the Spirit. And then we have the third category of giftings, which we quoted from Romans chapter 12, from verse 4 to verse 8. And we call these ones the graces of the Father. They are graces. They are not just abilities put in people. They are also enablement that people grow in. as they walk as believers. So we also call this the believer's gift. So these ones are for everybody, for enablement as they grow in the things of God, and it has to do also with their maturity. And I'll tell you why I'm separating them. Because you can say, oh, this one is also part of the nine gifts of the Spirit, but it's not true. Because the nine gifts of the Spirit has nothing to do with spiritual maturity. It has everything to do with mastery. But this particular graces has something to do with maturity. The more you grow, the more these ones will be sharper. You can be a baby in Christ and walk in the nine gifts of the Spirit, but you can't grow, you can't walk these ones if you are a baby. It grows with your maturity. This is why you can't include this in the nine gifts of the Spirit. For example, you have given here. There is a grace for giving. If you don't have a revelation of Jesus and of His kingdom, it will be difficult for you to give. You have the grace for mercy here. If you have not grown in the things of the Spirit, understanding how much you were forgiven in Christ, you will not be merciful to others. So mercy is a character. It grows with you as you mature. But word of knowledge is not a character. A fornicator can do word of knowledge. This is why you can't add this to this. Because why this one is gifts of the Spirit is mastery based, this one is maturity based. And there are about 10 of them here. You look at that from that scripture. It says, having them, from verse 6, gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. It says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. It went further. It says, or ministry. This is service. This is where you get the word for a deacon. Service. You see that this one takes maturity. Because if you are not mature in the things of God, you will be too offended to continue to serve. It says, whether service, it says, let us wait on our ministration. Or it says, let he that teacheth on teaching proceed. It says, exhortation. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him give with simplicity. He that ruleth, this authority now. You see that it has to do with maturity. He that ruleth, he said, with diligence. And he said, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So there are about 10 of them. You have prophesying, you have deaconry, you have teaching, you have exhortation, you have giving, you have administration or rulership, you have mercy, and then you have more. Deliverance, intercession, and healing. They are all part of these graces. A man who has the grace for healing will grow it into a ministry. But a man who has the gift of healing cannot build a ministry out of it. It will be difficult. But one who has grace for healing, as he's growing, that healing grace will not only heal the sick. A point will come, it will also function as administration. So he will know what to do to manage people coming from different nations. So a healing school can start. A president can come there. From that operation, he can spread to 30 nations. So you know that this one is beyond a gift. It's a grace. Because there are many ingredients that is working together. There's administration, there's financial management, there's leadership. All of those things is still part of what? The healing. But this time, this healing is a ministry. It's not just a gift. So the more mature he becomes, the stronger and bigger that ministry will be. But you see, because we are dealing with these three gifts, we decided to begin with the one that doesn't require maturity. So we started with the gifts of the Spirit. When we are done with the gifts of the Spirit, we are going to come to these ones, what you call ministry gifts or graces. And then when we are done with these ones, then we'll proceed to the offices. So you need to know who an apostle is. You know, this generation, everybody is an apostle. You need to know who a prophet is. You need to know who an evangelist is. Because these titles we put on ourselves is a yoke. And there are certain battles you begin to fight because you call yourself a name. Paul said apostles are like spectacles. They face all the opposition that comes to the church. So if you are not called into that office and you call yourself that name, and the demons begin to war with you on the strength of that office, there will be no covering. It will be a challenge. That's why you need to understand this thing, so that if you are called into it, you grow accordingly, and then you know the advantages you have. And if you are not called into it, it doesn't add anything to you, giving yourself a title. Just serve Jesus Christ as a brother. Meanwhile, the power is not in the title, it's in the calling. So you can be Brother Hagee, yet you are more apostolic than Apostle Doctor somebody. Because the calling will not lie, the mantle will speak. So we will deal with all of these things as we proceed. But we started dealing with the gift of the Spirit, and we said, in the Bible, these giftings are arranged according to energy levels. Now, if you go to verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, you are going to see what the Bible says. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. I want to show you why we call them energies, because they are the energies of the Holy Spirit. It said, this man is like, he's on another frequency. The Holy Ghost is teaching him something. Can you put somebody who is in this class on the laptop? This person is in the third heaven. Let him be operating there. Why we are on earth? It said, but all this worketh. The word worketh is the word energio. It said, all these things worketh that one and the self same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. So these giftings are the energies of God. The word worketh is energy. Now, if you study this scripture like I showed you the last time, they are divided into three energy levels. You'll discover that from verse 8 to verse 10, all the giftings are separated by the word another. Now, if you have a concordance in your Bible and you start clicking the another, you will notice something. That the first two gifts are separated by the word allos. You click another, you will see allos. That means word of wisdom and word of knowledge are of the same kind. Because allos means of the same kind. Remember, when Jesus was ascending, he said he will send the allos paracletos. That means another spirit of the same kind. So allos is of the same kind. So word of wisdom and word of knowledge are of the same kind. Now, after word of knowledge, the next gift you see is the gift of faith. The another that separates word of knowledge and gift of faith is hekteros. That means word of knowledge and gift of faith are different energies. Now, after gift of faith, you are going to see four other gifts. Workings of miracles, healing, prophecy, and discerning of spirit. All the another you will find there will become allos. What does that mean? It means faith, working of miracles, healing, prophecy, and discerning of spirit are of the same kind. The moment you reach discerning of spirit, and then you go to the next gift, which is diverse kinds of tongues, the another that separates it becomes hekteros again. That means those five categories of giftings are now different from the next one. You now have tongues and interpretation of tongues. The another between tongues and interpretation is allos. So you will notice that there was a deliberate grouping. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge in one group. Faith, workings of miracles, gifts of healing, prophecy, discerning of spirit in another group. Then tongues and interpretation in another group, according to the energy required to manifest them. And when you start reading Acts of the Apostles, you will now discover that even the manifestation started from the lowest one to the highest one. The moment the Holy Ghost came upon them, in Acts chapter 2 verse 4, they started speaking in diverse kinds of tongues. So that's the first level of giftings they manifested. You now move to Acts chapter 3. They now entered miracles. Because you see, Acts chapter 3, they went to the gate called Beautiful. And Peter saw a man that was lame. Silver and gold have I not. Such as I have, I give you. Rise up and walk. So they have entered the category of healing and workings of miracles. They now proceeded. You go to Acts chapter 5. Ananias sold land, came and lied to Peter. And by word of knowledge, Peter picked it. So they began from the category of tongues. They entered the category of miracles. They now entered the category of the prophetic. Because it will take mastery in operating the energy of the Spirit for these giftings to work. In this church, for example, all of us can speak in tongues. But if we say, give a word of knowledge, you'll discover that not everybody will operate it. It takes energies. Are you following? However, I said, for the purpose of understanding, theologians separated them into the giftings that have to do with speaking, to the giftings that have to do with knowing, to the giftings that have to do with doing. So we call some vocal gifts. There you have tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. All of them have to do with talking. And then we go to inspirational gifts or revelational gifts. Those ones have to do with knowing. So you have word of knowledge, you have word of wisdom, you have discerning of spirits. And then you have what we call power gifts. Those ones have to do with doings. So you have faith, you have miracles, workings of miracles, and you have gifts of healing. So that's the categorization we are dealing with. Are you following? I'm explaining this so that you will know them and know them well. Now, in dealing with this, last 2 weeks ago, we now dealt with the vocal gifts. So we looked at prophecy, we looked at tongues, and we looked at interpretation of tongues. And we had basic emphasis for each of these giftings. For example, when we were talking about prophecy, there were three things we highlighted. Number one, we said prophecy is the most important of the vocal gifts. Why? Because prophecy edifies the church. So if you find yourself operating the vocal gift, it will be good for you to trust God for diverse kinds of tongues. It will be good for you to trust God for interpretation of tongues, but make sure your priority is toward prophecy. So you see that in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, Paul said, "He that prophesieth edifieth the church. For prophecy is unto edification, exhortation, and comfort." And he now went further to verse 5. He said, "He that prophesieth is greater than he that speaketh in tongues." If you don't know these things, you will have these gifts, but you will not make the most of them. So I can come to a church and speak to that church in diverse kinds of tongues. You will say, this is a spiritual man. But he can't edify anybody. And a church can gather and pray in tongues. That is beautiful. Individually, they will be edified. But corporately, the church will not be edified. So why we strive to pray in tongues and also to speak in diverse kinds of tongues? Now remember, praying in tongues is different from diverse kinds of tongues. We explained it. So while we strive to operate in tongues, we must be careful to prioritize prophecy. So everybody must strive to prophesy. As the Holy Ghost empowers you and gives you the authority. You will become mighty on earth. Nothing can kill you young. You will live to a fruitful old age. In the name of Jesus. Sit down for a moment. Hallelujah. So, we must trust God to what? Prophesy. That's the first thing we said about prophecy. The second thing we said about prophecy is that prophecy is a supernatural word given to a man in a known language. So when God gives a supernatural message to you in a known language, it becomes what? Prophecy. In other words, it's a spirit-energized communication. You don't say it because you know the Bible. You say it because utterance was given to you. And we said prophecy is different from word of knowledge, is different from word of wisdom. We say word of knowledge is a supernatural ability to know the things that are in the past and in the present. Word of wisdom is the supernatural ability to know the things that are in the future. Prophecy may not excavate secrets of the past and present. It may not excavate secrets of the future. But when prophecy is spoken, it will energize the hearer. It will edify the hearer. That is why Paul speaking is said, prophecy has three expressions. He said number one is edification. And we said edification is to what? To build up. The way you build a house. So when a man is exposed to prophecy, he becomes greater, especially in his calling. He said prophecy is for what? Exhortation. And we say exhortation means to what? To call you to come along. So edification is oikomon. It means to build. So when a man is exposed to prophecy, he becomes bigger and bigger, stronger and stronger, higher and higher. And then prophecy is also exhortation. Exhortation is paracletis. It means come along. That means you encourage the person to keep moving. You know, Christianity is a narrow journey. A point comes when you become tired and exhausted. But when you are being prophesied to, you will have the energy to keep going. You will not be discouraged. Are you seeing that? So it brings you the consciousness of the presence of God, that God is with you. Don't be discouraged. And then the third thing about prophecy is comfort. And we said it's paramutia. It means to console. So no matter how many times a man falls, if he's exposed to prophecy, he will rise again. If a righteous man may fall seven times, he will what? That's paramutia. So somebody can just go and fornicate, and he thinks, oh, his ministry is over. And then he walks into a place and somebody looks at him and says, God, say you are my battle axe. You are my weapon of war. I will use you to shake the nations, and I will use you to destroy the powers of the serpentine spirit. But I just fell to the serpentine spirit. Does that mean God is still interested in me? He will now quickly repent. He will now be encouraged and he will keep going. You didn't tell him, I saw you yesterday in Hotel Rwanda. No, you didn't see anything. But you get prophecy and it's what? Energized. Do you see that? That's how prophecy works. And as simple as that gift is, it is very powerful. And then the third thing we said about prophecy is that prophecy is different from preaching and exhortation. Because if I'm preaching to you, a point will come when you will become encouraged, you will become built up, you will become energized. But that's not the gift of prophecy. Because the gift of prophecy is instantaneous. It is imparted by the Spirit. But preaching is developed. If I want to grow in preaching and exhortation, I may need to meditate on the Word of God. I may need to pray for my spirit to be charged. So why one is instantaneous, which is prophecy, the other is developed. Why one is a gift, the other is a growth. The more I grow in the Word, the more I become strong in preaching. But I don't need to grow to operate in prophecy. Even a donkey prophesied. The donkey of Bela prophesied. It was not a mature donkey. I wanted to say believer. So you don't need to be a mature Christian to prophesy. When the Spirit comes upon you, the utterance is given. And when the prophecy is over, it's finished. So one is a gift, the other is a growth. One is instantaneous, the other takes process. Are you following it? Prophecy is a function of the anointing upon. But preaching is a function of the anointing within. So the more I cultivate that anointing, the more I become stronger in preaching. So when a man prophesies, the Holy Ghost comes upon him, puts the word in his spirit to edify the church. And when he's speaking those words, it will edify, it will exhort, and it will comfort. And those words are not a function of maturity. They are a gift. And the more he learns to yield to the Holy Ghost, the more the Holy Ghost will give him those words. Do you understand that? We now went to the gift of tongues. And the first thing we said about tongues was the fact that tongues are supernatural utterances given to you in an unknown language. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance given to you in a known language. But tongues is a supernatural utterance given to you in an unknown language. Are you seeing the difference? So when a man speaks in diverse kinds of tongues, it is God putting those languages in him. There are cases where the language may be known, but the speaker will not know the language. That's why it's called unknown language. Are you seeing it? For example, when they spoke in Acts chapter 2, they were speaking in languages that were known by the people. But they themselves who were speaking it didn't know the language. So it's not something they learned. It is something happening supernaturally. And we said, a tongue, therefore, is a message for you or a people in an unknown language. And it is given to you supernaturally. And that gift is very important. However, we balance it. That when tongues is in manifestation, interpretation must also be manifestation. Because if the message is not interpreted, then the gift is useless. Are you seeing that? That's why every time you receive the gift of tongues, somebody must be present to interpret it. And if somebody is not present, Paul said, pray for interpretation. Because the excellency of that gift comes to play when the interpretation comes. So the first thing we said was what? It's a message in an unknown tongue given supernaturally. The second thing we said about tongues is the fact that diverse kinds of tongues is different from praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is something you do at will. It is a language of your spirit. I'm an Idoma man, so as I grew up and I stayed around Idoma people, I started speaking Idoma. is a language of my nature, my DNA. That code is in my DNA. My people speak that language. So, because my father spoke it, the code is in my DNA. The code is in my son's DNA. If he grows, after a while, he will start speaking it. And human language generally is in your DNA. If you are 5 years old and you are not yet talking, you are sick. You are dumb. Because it is expected for you to speak. The code of speaking human language is in your DNA. That's what speaking in tongues is. Everybody who is born again has encoded in his spirit man the ability to speak in a spirit language. But that is not a message for a people. Diverse kinds of tongues is a message given in a spirit language for a people. So, although it is a tongue, but it is a message. You are not generating it at will. The Holy Ghost is the one speaking it through you. So, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, anytime I want to speak in tongue, I can speak in tongue. He said, when I pray in the spirit, he said, my spirit prayed. He said, my understanding is unfruitful. He now went to verse 15. He said, what will I do? He said, I will pray in the spirit and I will pray in my understanding. So you see that he was doing it by his will. It's not the Holy Ghost that will it. He said, I will. So anytime I want to, I will pray in the spirit. But when it's a message in tongues, you cannot will it. If it's a message in tongues or a diverse kind of tongue, the Holy Ghost will put the message on you. Sometimes you can just be praying with people. While you are praying in the spirit, the message will come. The tongue will change. Sometimes you are preaching. While you are preaching, the message will come. You will deliver it in tongues. When you finish, you go back to normal. It was the Holy Ghost that interrupted your vocal cord and gave you a message in an unknown language. So we said it's important for us to know the difference. Now, people argue most of the times. And what do they say? They say when they prayed in Acts chapter 2 verse 4, people understood them. Why are we praying in tongues now? Nobody's understanding us. There are two different things. What God did in Acts chapter 2 verse 4 is a sign to confirm the prophecy of Joel. And it's a diverse kind of tongue. It's not a prayer in tongues. It's a diverse kind of tongue. If you go to 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, Paul said when you pray in an unknown tongue, he said no man understand you. He said how be it in the spirit you are uttering mysteries. So you are talking to God. It doesn't need interpretation. God understands every language. Does that make sense? So, a tongue is a message supernaturally given in an unknown language. It is different from praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is a language of your human spirit. While diverse kinds of tongue is a message given to you in the language of the spirit. Are you following that? And we said, when messages are given in tongues, there must be interpretation. Why is this thing important? And why am I emphasizing it? These are the simplest giftings, but they are the most abused. Somebody can come to a fellowship, people gather, and he carries the microphone. He starts doing like this. And he now move forward and say, Keleku peha tibai, gagibo bakaya. He will do it for 20 minutes and go back. What have you done? He just wants people to know that he's a spiritual man. When he's doing it, sometimes emotional people, hey, Jesus, Jesus is here. People will now fall down. At the moment, people are falling down. He over here. He hula ha ki sa ha. Huba kaka. Kea, 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 kea. He will now go home. You have not done anything. Paul said if somebody who is an unbeliever comes there, he will say you are mad people. When you do that, don't leave there until somebody interprets. Or you interpret, because you just wasted our time. But these things are abused. And then you find baby Christians everywhere doing things that are biblical nonsense. There must be interpretation so that the church is what? Edified. If you don't have the interpretation and nobody has the interpretation, we will pray there until God gives the interpretation. So that the body can be edified and there can be direction. Do you follow? That's why we are emphasizing it. So that you don't go and say, this new tongue I'm speaking is like a message. And you start giving messages that have no interpretation. We want to interpret that message. Don't give me a machine with manual in Russia. I want to use the machine. So change the manual to English language so that I can use it. Number three, we said interpretation of tongues. And we also spoke about it. And we said interpretation of tongues comes to play when a message is given in tongues. And there are three things we said. Number one, we said it's a supernatural insight given to you to interpret a message in tongue. It doesn't mean you know the language. Because you can finish interpreting that message, the next person speaks in an unknown language, you won't have interpretation. Now, why is this also important? Don't come to church and say, you are an interpreter. And it looks as if you live with angels. So you know the language of angels. And so, anytime people are praying in tongues, you stand like this. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Go away with your carnality. You don't know the language. That you interpreted a tongue does not mean you know the language. It means God has given you that gift. So if people speak in tongues, as the Holy Ghost wills, He can give you an interpretation per time. And people can also speak in tongues. You may not have the interpretation. Relax. Somebody else may have the interpretation. It's not your language. You were only given authority at a moment to interpret it. Now, if you grow that gift, you can start interpreting more frequently because the Holy Ghost can be giving you understanding. But no matter how frequent you interpret, it doesn't mean that language has become your language, and it doesn't mean you know that language. The language will remain an unknown language. But you are given ability to know what is said per time. Do you get that? Number two, we said interpretation is not translation. So a tongue can be given very short. Interpretation may be long. And I gave you instance from Daniel chapter 4. Mene, mene, teke, ofasin. Four words. Daniel interpreted it in three sentences. He said, this is the meaning. Mene, you have been weighed in the balances. And your kingdom has been divided. Teke, your kingdom is divided to the Medes and the Persians. And now say Perez. He said, tonight, this kingdom shall be divided. How can you explain four words in three sentences? Because it's not a translation, it's an interpretation. Are you following that? And I also taught you that this interpretation can be given in part. And it can be given differently, but the message will be the same. What do I mean? Somebody can say, car la cause. You can come and interpret car. Another person can interpret la cause. The elders now will merge it together and get the message. You see that? So three people can be interpreting one tongue and they are saying different things because they are interpreting different parts of the message. It's just like three blind men. They are touching a man. One can touch the head and said the person is like it has four. Another person will touch the elbow and say this person is a bone. The human being is a bone. And another person can touch his leg and say human being is like a stick. The elders now will merge it together and define the shape. You see that? So interpretation can be given in part and it can be given completely. Number two, interpretation can be given differently, but the message can be constant. I can come and God said, Laro Paraki. And what it means is, fear not, I am with you. And one simple brother who didn't study in Harvard can stand up and say, this is what God is saying. Fear not, I will be with you. Another person who is a PhD holder in philosophy can come and say, sustain no phobia. Elohim dwelleth with thou. It's interpreted. When we hear, we know the message. We understand the burden of your certificate, but the message is what we are looking for. Do you get it? So this is how interpretation works. So it's important for you to understand it. When interpretation is taking place, our focus is the message. If we can get the message and it profits us, then we are blessed. This is what we have done so far. I have to reiterate it because these giftings are sensitive. They have been abused in the body of Christ. Tonight, in another 15 minutes, I want to talk about the power gift. Don't laugh. It will be 15 minutes. Set the work clock. I have a burden for people to know things and know it well. I have been injured by Satan because I was doing things that were I had passion for and emotional. When Christ came, that was when I discovered the excellency of precision. The devil is not moved that you are jumping when you are doing what you are doing. It's adrenaline. If somebody dies, if you don't know what to do to wake him up, if you like dance, when you finish dancing, you will bury him. It's when your brother, your mother, or your father is sick. That's when you will find out what exactly did the Bible say about healing. Because that one now, you are not preaching on a campus. You know, when you are preaching and there is a platform, you can stand up and say, the hand of God is for healing. When the hand of God moves, miracles happen. When your uncle or your auntie is sick, you won't say hand of God. You will come, you want to know what is the secret of the power. It's no emotion now. Because money will be spent, there will be pain, and if nothing happens, the person will end up in the mortuary. That's why I'm not moved by many things anymore. I have seen the torment of Satan. I want to know how this thing works. And I will always put myself on the line. Let me be disgraced. It will cost me to go and search more. But by all means, we must know how this thing works. That's why I emphasize the way I do. Power gifts. These are gifts of the Spirit that releases the dimensions of God's power. When these giftings are at work, the power of God is put on display. And so a man who has the power gift is like one who has the key to unlock God's power. So when God wants to demonstrate power, those giftings go to work. They release the dimension of God's power. There are three giftings in the category of power gifts. Number one is the gift of faith. Number two is the gift of the workings of miracles, or working of miracles, and number three is the gift of faith. You know, in this particular gift, the punctuations matter. It's very important. So you have gift of faith, you have working of miracles, and you have gifts of faith, of healing. So we are going to look at them one after the other. What is the gift of faith? The gift of faith is a supernatural ability divinely imparted instantaneously to a believer to enable him receive a miracle. It's a supernatural ability divinely imparted instantaneously to a believer to enable him receive a miracle. So when the gift of faith is at work, people are supernaturally able to receive miracles from God. It is different from growing your faith. Growing your faith takes time of prayer, of meditation, of practice. But the gift of faith is instantaneous. It didn't come because you are meditating on Isaiah 53. It just comes upon you and you know this person will be healed. So you can receive that miracle instantaneously. When that gift lifts, the same thing you receive boldly now, you become afraid of it. Because you have not developed your faith. A gift just worked out. So when the gift of faith is at work, it's sweet. Sometimes, I just came back from Botswana. I saw one woman with crutches. I just knew she would walk. And when that knowing comes and that faith is imparted, you become like a master. I said, come on. Come. I was acting like crutches and nothing. I said, no, come on. Don't worry. Come. You are good. You can even use some accents at that point. Hello, my sister. You can walk to the front. Come on here. Come on. It's okay. Jesus loves you. If the gift of faith is not at work, if you see it, you will say they lay hands on the sick and they recover. By his stripes we are healed. You will pray. You will say, sweat. Your some things will be happening because you are exercising yourself. But when the gift of faith comes, instantaneous, you just know this thing must happen. You don't know how you know, but you know. And in that knowing, there is power. The moment you know it, you can do it anyhow you want. You can say, stand up. You can pull the person up. You can even push the person. Smith Wigglesworth operated in the gift of faith dangerously. Somebody had cancer. The stomach was swollen like this. As the way Smith Wigglesworth ministers is that when he comes to the altar, they know him. So the moment he's coming up, you will see people line up in front. You know what he says? Whoever gets here first is healed of whatsoever. So people will carry the dead and stand in front. The moment the guy climbs up, as they say, whoever, they run there. And anybody who comes will be healed. It's a gift of faith. Because you can go and say, whoever, the first whoever that will come, will be on the witchy and the leg would be like. They will say, wait. Don't break spiritual signals. When I say whoever, I meant the death. I didn't say whatever. We would have allowed the sentence to finish. But the guy had it. Now, this lady had cancer. The stomach was like this. And when Smith Wigglesworth called for them, they brought her. And he punched the cancer. The lady fell down and fainted. You know, people didn't say anything because so. He has done it many times. Things happen. So, nothing happened. Lift her up. He carried his hand against people. Ego. The lady felt her neck. What is happening? Is he a lady or a man now? I've forgotten a bit. Fell down. When they say lift up the third time, he carried his hand. One man said, you son of the devil. Stop that. You want to kill her? He said, shut up. Face your business. I know my own business. That's gift of faith. And he hit again. When he hit the third time, cancer pulled out. Fresh stomach. Fresh belly. Fresh. The cancer pulled out. And instantly healed. He went to another person on healing line. You know this kind of people they bring from ICU. There's oxygen masks everywhere. And they're carrying oxygen pipe. They are moving. He held the pipe, pulled it out. Hit the person on the chest and started going. They say, oh, he's dead. He's dead. He didn't come back. He's dead. And the person slumped and fainted. After a while, the person now breathed and stood up and started shouting. They say, he's alive. He's alive. He didn't turn. You will think, you will say, yeah, praise God. He didn't turn. When they told him the person is alive, he said, he has to. I know. It's called the gift of faith. This is not drama. If you try it, they'll carry you on handcuff. But when that gift comes, anything you do works. I watched Jaco. This one watched. Somebody has cancer on the face. They brought the person. And Jaco, he does it like joke. Say, come on. Bring him here. Do you believe the Lord will heal him? They said, yes. Come here, brother. Now let's pray to Jesus. He held it. Father, in the name of... Oh, here it is. Cancer pulled out. As if it's chingon. He said, here's the cancer. Look at it. It's gone. Glory to God. He pulled cancer out of somebody's face as if it's chingon that is there. It's the gift of faith. When it is imparted, you just know that the miracle is already perfected. And you can receive it with ease. So the second thing about the gift of faith is that it functions from the place of rest. If it is the gift of faith, there will be no anxiety. You may not have gone to theology. You may not remember any Bible verse. You may not have prayed, but you just know. And the moment that gift comes upon you, you can lift a mountain and nothing will happen. A mountain, you can carry anything and anything becomes possible. That's why it's called power gift. There are four ways of expressing this gift. Number one is through proclamation. Proclamation. When the gift of faith is at work, it flows through the channel of proclamation. Number two, the gift of faith works through provisions. Provisions. Supernatural provisions. Number three, the gift of faith works through preservation, or it engenders preservation. And number four, it is spiritual transport. I learned these things from some of the best teachers on this subject. Peter Tan, Lester Sumrall, they dealt with this subject very deeply. And when they are explaining it, you wonder, is this, how didn't I know this? And this is what they taught. proclamation, provision, preservation, and supernatural transport. Now, let me show you a few scriptures on proclamation. John 11, verse 40 and 42. Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was buried. Lazarus had decayed. Jesus showed up after 4 days. And they said, if you were here, our brother would not have died. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Say, he that believeth in me shall not die. Even if he were dead, he shall live again. And when they kept talking, he now wept for them because of their unbelief. Where did you keep him? And he showed up. They say, he's there. But by now, he should think. He said, roll away the stone. The moment they rolled away the stone, the Bible said with a loud shout, Jesus shouted and said, Lazarus, come forth. And they said, he that was dead came back to life. There is assurance. You know that this thing must happen. When you find people who declare audaciously and things happen with high level precision, know it's the gift of faith at work. Recently, Pastor Chris went for healing school. They were doing the healing streams. The usual Pastor Chris operates healing and workings of miracles. So when he shows up, he lays hands on the person. Sometimes he moves his hand. He's imparting the anointing. Or he says, breathe in, breathe out. He's doing all of that. He was walking towards the people, and there were many. Suddenly he stepped back. Something came on him. And he moved back. And he said, listen to me, all of you. You are all healed. Stand up and walk. As if he was angry with the sickness. And people started jumping up. No laying of hands, nothing. No prayer. You are all healed. That's the gift of faith. It's not something you do every day. Something came on him. He just discovered that they are already healed. So there's no need for prayer. There's no need for laying on of hands. There's no need for anointing. And he just proclaimed, you are all healed. Bishop Oyedepo told the story when they wanted to build the 50,000 seater auditorium. That is supposed to be the largest building, church auditorium in the world. You are not in the United States. You don't have the best engineers and architects. And he stood up in church. The thing came on him. 1 year, the building is built. And that was all. 2 weeks to dedication. Building had not finished. 2 weeks, too much. The world was created in 6 days. We shall dedicate it. And the gift of faith went to work. Everything that needed to be done was done. Now, you don't declare it and you are panicking. There is rest. The proof that is the gift of faith is that there is supernatural rest. You are not afraid. Will it work? Will it not work? You just know. Like you can bank on it. You just know that it must work. That's the gift of faith. And one of the channels or one of the things that it provokes is proclamation. It will put words in your mouth. Words that you didn't read. Words that you didn't hear anybody say. But you will say it in front of impossibility. And it will be answered from the place of rest. Know that that's the gift of faith. Now, if it's not on you, don't go and act drama. I've told you my story. When I started listening to this man, I didn't know the dynamics. You will hear them say something, you too will go somewhere and say. It was later we started listening to the messages again. We now discovered some things were happening to them. So you can come to a place, they tell you, you come to a family, they tell you people are dying. You say, except I'm not called. Nobody dies here anymore. They say, no, somebody is already in ICU. It doesn't matter. And there is rest. And death goes back. It's the gift of faith. So, you must be sensitive to know it. You come before a circumstance that is seemingly impossible. And suddenly, a word is rising on your inside. It is done. It is done. You want to record it, you can't. It comes out of you like a gusher. You know, that's the gift of faith. Many times, it happens to many, but they don't know it's the gift of faith. Somebody comes to you and says, I've been married for 20 years. I'm not yet. I don't have a child yet. You say, before this year is over. Meanwhile, you are in December 24. Before this year is over, you conceive. 31st can't end until that person takes it. I was in the hospital when my son was born. Some of my friends came. The wife gave birth 8 years ago, secondary infertility. Their daughter was 8 years. And when we were walking out of the car, I just knew. I turned to him and said, by this time next year, you will carry your son. We were not praying. I just knew. That was the gift of faith. The guy said, amen. But he looked surprised. You know why? The wife was supposed to travel 2 weeks later to Italy for a course of 1 year. The guy, this man of God has not made mistake this time. And the wife traveled. When she left, 3 weeks later, she had to come back to the country. She came back, spent 1 week, and moved. 1 week, she conceived. And now, they've carried their son. He came back and said, my wife is pregnant. I said, what? How? He said, you said it in the hospital. I said, thank God, I didn't know. Something moved on my inside. It's the gift of faith. Listen, when that thing begins to move, don't be afraid. As you speak, the moment you speak it, rest will come to you. Instead of fear, you will have rest. Know that it's the gift of faith at work. Proclamation. Number two is by provision. 1 Kings 17 verse 4. Elijah was supernaturally sustained by the gift of faith. You know, in verse 1, he came to Ahab. As surely as the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no rain nor dew. Rain has never stopped since the world began. Hope you know what you are saying. It's the gift of faith. And when he walked out, the Spirit of God led him to a brook. He sat there by faith. And suddenly, a raven was bringing bread from wherever. If the whole nation is in drought, where are they baking bread? And the record holds that the raven is the stingiest bird. But the raven will bring bread in the morning and in the evening. And the guy was sustained. There was no panic. There was no record anywhere that Elijah was begging God, please don't forget me, Lord, I'm here. He was confident. He was audacious. He was in the place of rest. That's the gift of faith. I heard the story of a preacher. God gave him a word. I think he did something and there was no food, there was no money. But by the gift of faith, he declared in his family, he said, there's no day we will not have what to eat. And all of a sudden, the next day, an eatery company suddenly began to bring food, leftover food, to dump in front of his house. And the food is well packaged. And the food will come. They will carry, eat and drink water and live in succor for a long period of time until everything was reverted because faith was at work. How do you think Jesus fed 3,000 people? It was the gift of faith. There was provision. There was no panic. What do you have? They said, no, don't think about it. Even a year's wages can't sustain these people. What do you have? The moment they brought 5 loaves and 2 fish, this is more than enough. Take, give them, let them eat. Give who? From where? From who? And as they were giving, everybody had more than enough. He had assurance. How do you know that 5 loaves and 2 fish will go round? It's the gift of faith. It will supernaturally sustain you. The gift of faith also makes for preservation. Daniel 6:16. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, there was no, oh Lord, save me, oh Father. No. There was rest. They threw him into the den. He laid down and relaxed. You will not read that Daniel was praying, Father, please save your prophet. He knew the lion can't eat him. He just knew. So, one of the ways gift of faith work is supernatural preservation. You are going through a circumstance where everybody is panicking. You are resting. They say, are you foolish? What's wrong with you? There is danger. Not for you. You know you are preserved. If they ask you how, you don't know how. It's the gift of faith. Now, why am I explaining this? So that when it starts happening, you will now know that you have it. And if you know you have it, you will now know how to switch on your antenna for that gift to work. The reason many people don't walk in spiritual giftings is because they don't know they have it. Several times, all your colleagues are going through danger. Everybody is weeping and crying. They say they will not pay salary again. You just know you don't have a problem. You don't know how. It's a gift working in your life. If you now know that this thing is a gift, then anytime there is a difficult situation, you start waiting on God. You start praying. You start hoping. You start becoming sensitive because you know the gift can come on at any time. And the moment the gift comes, you now know that is the gift. How do you think we minister? There are times when you come for a meeting and the first people that greet you are sick people. They put them in front so that you can't escape them. And And as you are preaching, you get to a level where rest just comes. You just know they are healed. Then you now say, this message I'm preaching to show you the effectiveness. You now enter lecture. So there are two ways of showing the efficacy of a message. Number one is through the exegetical correctness. That means you can trace it is theologically correct. The second way is by power. So now that I'm done teaching, let me demonstrate. They will look at you and say, Kai, this man has stature. No, it's the gift of faith. You knew they will be healed. And now that you know, anything you want to, you can say, have the pot. Take, put this handkerchief. That's how the gift of faith works. But if you didn't know that any time this rest comes in the face of circumstance is the gift of faith, you will have that rest. You will still not know what to do. But if you have that rest and you know this is how the gift of faith works, then you become bold. So, if I don't have money, and I naturally should be anxious, but suddenly I find peace, I know that, faith has switched on. I will now say, money, come. And the money will come. It doesn't matter where I am, because now I know the signal. The moment the signal comes, I know nothing can be impossible, because that's how the gift of faith works. It makes you to become effective in kingdom engagement. There are many Christians that the only gift they have is the gift of faith, but they don't know the sign. So they are in a plane, they are driving, there is danger, they have peace, they don't know. And because they don't know what to say. They now join people crying. They are in a city, there is famine. People are crying for food, they have peace. But they didn't know that that sign is gift of faith. They join everybody crying. What you should do that time is to prophesy. My own resources come from heaven. I cannot lack. I cannot want. I am abundant. Walking in abundance. And people are looking at you. Why? I know the gift of faith has switched on. And so anything I do will work. That's how the gift of faith works. Finally, transport. When a man is operating by faith, he can enter into the economy of bilocation and translocation. Genesis 5:24. We saw the life of Enoch. He said, Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. It was in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. We now understood that it was faith at work. He said, by faith. So, Enoch's translation was by faith. So, the fourth way the gift of faith works is by translocation. So, if you are in a situation where the words don't come for you to declare, if you are in a situation where what you need does not come supernaturally, and if you are in a situation where you cannot be preserved supernaturally, then you will be carried away. That's how the gift of faith works. So the first three preserves you inside the crisis, but the fourth one takes you away from the crisis. So the way men will be caught up is by the operation of the gift of faith. Even rapture, when rapture comes, all of us will receive that impartation and will be caught up. Many times, you see people functions like that. And Enoch's life is a graphic example. Hebrews 11:5 is that by faith, Enoch was what? Translated. So the gift of faith engenders translation. You just know that you can't die in this circumstance. You just know that this poverty can't kill you. You just know that this accident, you won't die here. The faith is too strong. So if the car does not stop, you will leave the car. That's how the faith works. So it's either you are preserved in the circumstance through a proclamation, through provision, or through supernatural preservation, or you are caught up. And so the car is damaged, but you are walking out. And they say, what happened? I shifted. By faith, Enoch was what? Translated. This is how Elijah. Why do you think Elijah talks to everybody and nobody could do anything to him? The gift of faith was provoking translations in his life. In 1 Kings 18, verse 10 to 12, when Obadiah came to him, he said, go and tell the king, I will come. He said, I'm not going anywhere. Please, listen. I have fed 7,000 prophets. Don't allow me to die like this. Please, follow me. He said, no, I'm coming. He said, no, I know that if I turn, the Spirit of God will carry you. So they knew that translocation was normal for Elijah. But that was the gift of faith at work. See, you will not die in that accident. If that gift of faith turns on, the car can come to the edge of the cliff. The two tires will be down, but the car will stop until you come out. And if the car doesn't stop, as been falling, something will carry you from the car. You will just find yourself standing on the road. The kidnappers kidnapped everybody in the bus. The gift of faith didn't come for you to declare, "I will not die." You were hoping and wishing that that word will come and you will say, "I will not die," but the word didn't come. You were hoping that somehow soldiers will come out from somewhere and nothing happened. By the time it gets red and it looks as if it's over, suddenly you find yourself sitting in the middle of the road. And they say, "How did you get here?" "I don't know. I was carried." That's how the gift of faith works. By all means, it must deliver you from the problem. And when it's done, the excellence is that you will have supernatural rest. You will not be perturbed. There will be no anxiety. Hear me. One of the most important gifts that you must have is the gift of faith. One gift that insists that you must be preserved is the gift of faith. Elohim Madonna. Ah, Elohim Madonna. Ah, Elohim Madonna. Ah, Elohim Madonna. Hear me. When you are in the middle of the problem, trust God. A word will just come. You will declare, "I can't end here." You won't know how you said it, but somehow you will come out. Because it's either that situation stops or you are carried from that situation. That's how faith works. You will be caught up. You'll be caught up. That's the excellency of this gift. Sit down. Give me 5 minutes. Let me finish power gift. The second dimension of power gift is the workings of miracles. The workings of miracles is like the gift of faith, but there's a difference. The difference between the workings of miracles and the gift of faith is that in the gift of workings of miracles, you are allowed to participate in the process. God gives you the opportunity to participate in the process. So, the workings of miracles is a supernatural ability divinely imparted to work miracles. Remember, the gift of faith is a supernatural ability divinely imparted to receive miracles. But in this one, is the supernatural ability divinely imparted to do what? To work miracles. So while in the gift of faith you are at rest, you don't really participate in the process, in the workings of miracles, God gives you the privilege to participate. That's why it is called walking, because you have to walk something. And it's also called miracles because there are dimensions to this thing. There are many dimensions to these miracles. And I'll give you 5 of them. Number one, the first dimension of workings of miracles is what we call instantaneous healing. Now, when somebody is healed by the gift of healing, he will be healed completely and instantly, but it will take a while for him to recover. So, for example, if somebody is lame and is lame from birth, the leg is bent like this, and the leg is healed, the leg will be healed instantly, but he will take maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 1 month to learn how to walk because he has never walked before. You see that? If somebody is bedridden for 20 years, and the pet, maybe because there's cancer or because there is a sickness, something, the sickness can be healed instantly, but it will take time for him to eat and become strong and start doing well. Now, the difference between the gift of healing and workings of miracles is that if the person is healed by the gift of healing, it will take time for him to recover. But if the person is healed by workings of miracles, even the recovery is instantaneous. So if you study Acts chapter 6 verse 3, at the beautiful gate, the man that was lame, 3 verse 6, when he was healed, you see the process. "Silver and gold have I none, such as I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." The guy couldn't stand up. Peter knew that this thing needs workings of miracles, not healing. So what did he do? He had to participate. The Bible said he held him, pulled him up, as he was pulling him up, God put strength in his ankle. This guy was supposed to take some weeks to learn how to use his leg. But instantly, the Bible said he was limping and he was walking. Immediately, process shortened, perfection was achieved. If you study the book of John, chapter 5, at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus met a man that was sick 38 years. The guy was bedridden. That means he couldn't stand up. That's where he eases himself. That's where they beat him. Immediately, Jesus came up to him. Will thou be made whole? The guy said, I have no man to help me. He said, when the water is stirred, no man carries me in. And Jesus said, will thou be made whole? And eventually, he said, rise up, carry your mat. And they picked him up. Immediately, somebody who was bedridden for 38 years began to go home. There was no time to eat food. There was no time to get energy. Both the energy and the recovery was impacted. So somebody who was lying down for 38 years carried his mat on his head and started strolling home as if he has been feeding well. That is workings of miracles. It is instantaneous. The recovery process is instantaneous. So when you are operating in the power gift, you need to know which one is working per time. You can come to somebody and minister from the place of the gift of healing. So the person was lame. The person can be healed, but he may be walking and falling. He will need time to recover. Those bones need to be exercised. He will need to eat. So don't think that, oh, because the person is walking and falling, he's not healed. He's healed. What he needs is recovery. The only time somebody can be healed instantly and he starts jumping is when he's working some miracles. Because there are many who are not taught. So somebody can be healed of an infirmity because it's taking time to recover. They think nothing has happened. They don't know the difference. So when God has done something, instead of praising God, they are looking. Has it been done? Has it not been done? Will it come back? They don't have understanding. So working some miracles operate by what? Instantaneous healing. Number two, workings of miracles provokes creativity in the miracle workings. What does that mean? It means two things. Number one, in creative expression, certain parts of the body that were cut off because of infirmity, if workings of miracles is at work, they will grow back instantly. That's one of the major miracles that happened in Azusa. They will cut off somebody's leg. He will come for the service. They will pray for him. Leg will grow out. If you were there, you will run. Leg will come out. What's happening here? Is it true? The leg was cut. He will grow out. That's called creative miracles. And you see, Jesus walked in it. And then there are some people who are born without body parts. If it is working some miracles, the body part will be recreated. That's how powerful that gift is. Somebody can maybe went to a hospital, had a kidney challenge, they cut off one kidney. And then a man who has working some miracles can come, lay hands on his chest. The kidney will not be energized. The second kidney that was cut off will be replaced. So parts of the body that were lost or were destroyed were healed. So every time you read the Bible and you hear that Jesus healed those that were maimed, it means there are people with missing body parts. It was working some miracles that went to place. That's how it was. Let me read a verse or two for you. Matthew 14. Okay, I start with maiming. Matthew 18 verse 8. You see working some miracles. And then Mark 9:43. Wherefore, I wanted to give you the definition of the word. Get Mark 9:43 for me. He was showing them, I put this scripture when I was still drafting it to show you the meaning of maimed, so that you understand what it means, maimed. He said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. He said, it is better for thee to enter eternal life maimed than having two hands to go to hell. Are you seeing this? So everywhere in the Bible where you see that Jesus healed those that were maimed, He was actually talking about people that their body parts were cut off. That's why in the book of John chapter 9, the man that was born blind, you see that Jesus came. The guy didn't have eye socket. He created it and the eye appeared. You saw another man that he said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. The Bible says he sat on the ground. He spat. He made mud out of the spittle. He was creating eye socket and put it in the eye and said, go and wash. And new eyeballs were created. That's working for miracles. So the first dimension of that gift is when you create what was not. The second dimension of that gift is when you are able to supernaturally multiply things. And so you see that also in John chapter 6, from verse 6 to verse 11, where Jesus multiplied bread. So faith was at work because he knew it would happen, but workings of miracle was the dynamic for that thing to happen. He carried the bread, he told them, break it, give to them. As they were breaking, the bread was multiplying. So in workings of miracles, you participate. Now, there are some people who do not have the gift of healing, but they have the gift of workings of miracles. But the problem with them is that they don't know they need to participate for something to happen. So while they were watching the healing evangelist will give a commandment by the gift of faith. Somebody will stand up from wheelchair and start walking. And for 10 years, they have been praying to God, give me this gift. And they are making declaration, nobody is standing up. You know why? That evangelist you are watching has the gift of faith. So when he talks, the energy enters and leaves the people. You have the gift of working some miracles. Until you go to the guy and pull him up, he will never walk. So the gift is in you, but you need to discern it. That's why for you, you are praying for people to drop crutches. Every time you see a man with crutches, the Holy Ghost is pushing you, collect it. Because what you have is not the gift of faith. It's the gift of workings of miracles. If you don't collect those crutches, the person will never walk. And then you, out of fear, you are standing somewhere. You are saying, that fear means you don't have the gift of faith. You are saying, Father, everybody who is sick here, in the name of Jesus, walk. Nobody is walking. The Holy Ghost is pushing you. Collect the crutch. Collect it. And sometimes you collect it, it says drag the person. You now collect it and say, let's be careful, let's be careful. Can you walk? The person says, I cannot walk. You say, try. You say, no, I can't. Hold him and drag him. That's when the anointing will move. If you don't participate, the miracle will never happen. That's how the gift works. You must participate for the gift to happen. And the second way that gift takes place is by creative miracles. The third way that gift works is by supernatural signs and wonders. So when you see people who can create supernatural wonder, it's a gift on their life called workings of miracles. You see the life of Paul. The Bible said handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. He carried his own handkerchief. He said, take. Put it on the sick, they will walk. Acts of the Apostles 19, verse 11 and 12. He knew that what he had was not healing. What he had was workings of miracles. So there must be participation. So when Paul carried his handkerchief, he knew exactly what he was doing. If I don't participate, miracles won't take place. So since I'm not around, take the hanky, put it on the person. The moment an activity happens, the miracle will follow. And the thing happened. And those are special operations. Look at Peter. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 5 verse 15. The Bible said he put his shadow on them. And those who were sick were made whole. He participated in the process. And as he participated, special signs and wonders began to happen. Look at Moses. When he was before the Red Sea, he said, stretch your rod. So when you are doing workings of miracles, if you don't participate, nothing will happen. And Moses stretched his rod, and the wind blew through the rod, and the river parted. Are you seeing that? So, but this dimension are special signs and special wonders. Look at Joshua. In Joshua, I think, chapter 10, verse 12, he stood in front of the army and stretched his hand at the sun and said, let the sun remain still. And the sun did not move. So, every time in scripture where you see special wonders, it's working some miracles at work. God will show you what to do. And when you do it, something so special, supernatural, that illustrates the sovereignty of God, we go to work. Look at the case of Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, he said, build the altar. They built it. When the time came for the evening sacrifice, he said, fill it with water. And they filled it. They were participating in the miracle. And he showed up and made the declaration. And the fire came down. He knew how it works. Many Christians are not manifesting supernatural signs because they don't know how the gift on their life works. Three evangelists can go out. One has the gift of faith. He will be talking, things will be happening. Another one has the gift of healing. You have the gift of workings of miracle. If you talk, you will come back without testimony. So you must lay hands on people. You must pull people out of wheelchair. And you will do anything the Holy Ghost tells you to do. Because it's in your participation that it happens. And when you start doing that, one of the expressions is through supernatural signs and wonders. Number four. Is through the transcending of natural laws. When a man is operating the gifts or workings of miracles, he transcends natural law. In John chapter 2, from verse 7 to verse 11, you saw what Jesus did. He said, fill the water pot with water. They filled it. He said, fetch from it. Take it to the governor of the feast. There was participation. As they took it, water turned to wine. That is transcending what? Supernatural laws. These are four major ways by which the gift of workings of miracles take place. When what you are doing goes beyond the natural law, know that it's a gift at work in your life. In Matthew 14, verse 25, the Bible says Jesus came walking on water. That's workings of miracles. You are doing something that the Holy Ghost inspires you to do, and you are going above natural laws. Know that that gift is at work in your life. Now, why is it important to know these operations? If you know it, you can now study the signs that comes with it. So when the signs come, you will know that the gift is active. You will start taking action. There are some people who have this gift. When they come out, their hands begin to shake. If their hands begin to shake like this, they know that anybody with broken bone that they touch must be healed. So you see them start pulling people up. Pulling people up. Pulling people. He has understood the sign. He has mastered it and discerned it. And so anytime that sign comes, he doesn't need to feel anything. He knows what is at work. Workings of miracles have been activated. There are some people that when that gift comes, something begins to move on their head like insects. And then you tell them that there's no food in the house. He says, there's one bread there, bring it. He will lay hands on the bread and say, eat. The bread may not multiply you, but everybody may have just a bite. And that bite, you will not be hungry again for 3 days. The guy knows, as this thing is moving, there's possibility of miracle around. So anything that comes to his spirit, he does it. And the power will flow. I'm showing you why many Christians are barren as touching spiritual gifts. They don't know the signs, or they don't know the channel. They don't know the channel. Do you know how I know if God is in the place? My people here know. Sometimes I show up and somebody is worshiping. I say, God, that person is dry. It's not because of the song. The song can be very emotional. People can even be hearing it and crying. But if I come to a place, there are many signs that the Holy Ghost has taught me to show that He's present. And those are the same signs I see. And I can dare to try a miracle. One of the signs is when I stand in a place where God is, my left leg begins to move like this. I'm not the one moving it. If somebody is doing something spiritual, the leg will start moving like this. And as it's moving, if your leg be doing something that I don't like, but I know that thing is spiritual, so long as the leg is moving. The same way, if I'm preaching, I'm ministering, I stand, and the leg begins to shake. I say, okay, God wants to do something now. I didn't hear anything. I've seen my sign. That's what makes you a spiritual man. At that time, I can go to you and say, ear, open. Because I picked it. I know it. God taught me. And the moment it starts happening, miracles must happen. It's no longer a fluke. It's something you know. And as you begin to master this gift, the Holy Ghost will begin to teach you your signs. Teach you. Some people, when that gift begins to work, their heart becomes cold. Everything becomes quiet. That's why you see some ministers singing hymn. It's not because it's the hymn that heals the sick. But they begin to look for things that resonate with that frequency. They must become still. There are some ministers that tell you, stop moving. Stop. Don't move. Everybody be quiet. A Benihim will tell Usher, stop there. Don't move. Stay there. He doesn't want any activity anymore because there is stillness. And so long as he maintains that stillness, the miracles will be happening. You now can go and stand like this. Nothing will happen because your sign has not come and you don't know your sign. The power gift. The Christian is a weapon, but the things we do are encoded. One of the reasons you walk with the Holy Ghost is to find your code. Find it. Those of you who sing here, you may be singing, and anytime you start singing and your eyes begin to blink, you know that God wants to deliver people. You will just be singing your song. The moment it starts blinking, maybe the song you are singing, you don't even know it well. You will say, now anybody who is demonized, you are about to be delivered. It's not about shouting. You can even talk like a woman. But when you talk, the power that will move will shock you. It's called workings of miracles. The moment your participation is activated, the power is released for the manifestation. That's the second power gift. The last one is gift of healing. Now, it's important to know that the gift of workings of miracles is different from believing God for a miracle. The gift of workings of miracles is instantaneous. It happens like the gift of faith. But trusting God for a miracle is a process of developing your faith through holding on to God's promises and through meditating on scripture. So this one takes a process of growth. There are two different things. Workings of miracles come upon you as a gift and it's instant. The moment you know it, you can go to work as the Holy Ghost inspires you. So you can find somebody who just gave his heart to Christ today. He enters a service and then that gift comes upon him. He sees somebody with a stick. He will go and collect it. He doesn't even know what he's doing. The gift will give him the inspiration on what to do. And as he collects it, this person will start working. And you are wondering what's going on. It's a gift that works. But he may need 5 years to trust God for miracles. He will grow in it. Meditating on scriptures, standing on promises before miracles begin to happen. And he will be growing in it little by little. But when it's a gift, it's instant. The protocol is inspired. And the result follows immediately. You must learn it and master it. Finally, the gift of healing is the supernatural ability divinely imparted to heal the sick. It is called gift of healing because there are different dimensions of the operation of the gift. So it's called gift of healing. And there are three major dimensions. Number one, there is a gift for soulish healing and there's a gift for bodily healing. So there are people that have gifts only for soulish healing. There are other people that have gifts only for bodily healing. I'm showing you why it's called gifts in plural because of the dimensions. If you study Luke chapter 4 verse 18, you are going to see that some of the healing Jesus spoke about were what? Soulish. Because some people are sick in the mind, not in the body. The guy looks very handsome, but he's mentally foolish. Or he's depressed. A demon put the garment of heaviness on him. One person who has the gift of bodily healing can be talking and cancer will vanish. But somebody will be depressed there for 10 years. And another person may not have gift for bodily healing. But the moment he talks, that person who has been depressed for 7 years, instantly will be healed. So, the same gift, but one is for soulish healing. Another one is for bodily healing. That's the first dimension. The jurisdictions of operation. The second reason why it's called gift of healing is because of the many causes of sickness. There are some sicknesses that are caused by virus and microorganisms. There are other sicknesses that are caused by systemic failure. So somebody can be operating an axe and the axe hit him on the knee and divide the bone and he can't walk. is because of failure in system. Maybe he lifted the axe and the iron fell off and hit his leg and cut off his ankle. He can't walk again. That's systemic failure. And then there is other giftings that is born out of human wickedness. Somebody goes and consults with a sorcerer and puts a charm and somebody walks on it and he can't walk again. And then there's another dimension that demons are involved. A demon came in the dream and pressed you down. And when you woke up, you had asthma. So when this gift is at work, there are some people that if what is wrong with you is an accident, go and sleep. If you like, the leg should be cut. It will come back. There are other people that what is wrong with you, if it's a demon, forget. So long as it's a demon, if they show up, you'll be healed because they came. Because the oil on their life responds to demonic affliction. There are some that it responds to systemic failure. So if you say, I was driving, I had an accident, my hip broke. If we touch it, you will hear, ka, 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 the bone will enter. So long as it's accident, the guy is a human mechanic. His work is to repair bodies. Another one deals with demonic affliction. And then another one, if it's microorganism, they say you have HIV. It's a virus. They will come and look at you and blow. All the virus will go. And there are some who are based on genetic deformations, genetic issues. Somebody was born and there's a genetic disorder. They say the person was born, he didn't have ear. He will come and put his hand like this. Say, close your eye. He will come up, he will remove his hand, here we grow. You say, ah, what happened? If it's genetic, leave him. That is his area of specialty. He doesn't joke with. They say somebody was born and his kidneys shrinked. He will come and say, hug me. You will hug him, he will look up like this. He say, go and check the doctor tomorrow and come back. He will come back, they say, kidney is normal. That is hug. But there's a gift. So it's called gift of healing because the gift is sensitive to the causes of infirmity. It's called gift of healing because the gift is sensitive to the dimension or the constitution of the human body. It can be bodily or soulish. And finally, it is called gift of healing because of the specialization that many ministers and ministries have. There are some people that are good with deafness. If somebody is deaf, it's easy for them. Their faith can easily work. So they go for a crusade a thousand times. They will tell you God wants to work. They will start with, if you are deaf, come. That's where they know their gift is strong. There are some people that is cancer. There are some people that is rheumatoid arthritis. If it has to do with your bone, they are good. So whether it is accident or whether it is demon, whether it is system failure, if it is bone, that's their department. Whether it's a demon, whether it's an accident, if it's here, that's their department. 100 times it will work. So there is that level of specialization. That's why if you see ministers, there are some ministers that large number of their testimonies is cancer. It's not because God won't heal other things, but you will know that this one is predominant. There are some other people that large portion of their testimonies is crutches and witches, bone-related issues. God can heal deaf and do other things, but that one is predominant. There are other people that large portion of their testimony is blindness. So there is a way that the anointing narrows into specific operation. Now, why is this important? It's important because when you notice that the gift on your life is sensitive to a dimension, make it a stronghold. And from there, begin to grow others. If I know that God deals with broken bones with me, much easier than it does with blindness. If I come for a healing service, I won't start with blind people. If you like, line 20 blind people here. I will say, is there anybody here that you have a challenge with your bone? They say, yes, yes, two people. Come. When they come, Malo Kera Kivaka, Zediga Parakados Kofra Hadegaste. Give me the crutches. When they give me, the blind people will hear, hey, I'm healed. Their faith will come alive. Then I will come to them and say, the God that did it here can do it here too. And they too will receive their healing. So I don't have this strength, but I have used their faith to inspire these ones. So when you are operating in the gift of the Spirit, there is mastery. That's why I told you, Giftings is not about maturity, it's about mastery. There are some people that they are strong with deafness, but they went for a miracle service. They want to show that God is here. They now started with the witch here. They will carry the person up, the person will fall down. They will say, everybody stretch your hand. The power of God is here. They will carry. After the second time, they will start sweating from here. If you start sweating from your forehead, know that there is a problem. They will carry handkerchief and clean it. Clean it. The third time, they will go back and start explaining some things. You know, sometimes God heals instantly. Sometimes it's later. The faith of the people will go down. The miracle will fail that day. Meanwhile, the people God apportioned to be healed, they won't be healed. But if you know that your strength is deafness, look for one deaf person first. They may say there are five people on the mat. There is three people on which here. Leave them. If they like. See, sometimes when you go for crusade, some ushers, I don't know where they came from. The moment you say if you are sick, they start pushing witch ears. Did I say bring them here? I was in Ghana some days ago. Before I say I want to pray for the sick. I said, stop, follow instruction. Who told you to bring the people? I say if you are sick, don't choke my service. You don't know that this thing is a skill. I'm managing the faith of the people. I'm managing the unction that is present. I'm managing my own faith. You want to choke? There's a balance. It's a delicate balance. I say, stay where you are. When I pray, I say, if you are healed, come. A woman came out and said, I couldn't walk. The faith of people is beginning to align with my unction. At that point, I now came down from the stage. I saw all the women. There was one that there was life. She felt more alive. I perceived faith in her. I left the people in front of me. I went and met her. I said, give me the crutches. I collected it. Me and her started dancing. As we were dancing, other people were seeing what was happening. They too started coming alive. I went to another man that was blind. I said, in the name of Jesus, open! I said, what am I wearing? He said, white. I said, yes. Now we are there. At this point now, we can say, whatever you came with, I don't care where it came from. I don't care for how long it has been. I declare at one cent. They'll say, this apostle is skill, is skill. I walked the people to that energy level. I came as one sent of God. I'm not a lecturer. I'm a witness to a generation. Now, by the power of the Holy Ghost, whatever you came here with, I decree and declare, now be healed. You can't start. You walk your way there. It's a skill. It's a skill. That's how these things work. And every one of us must master it. Master it and make sure you walk in it. There is nobody here who does not have a gift. So long as the Holy Ghost lives in you, there must be one manifestation. Discover it, grow in it, master it, and see how it changes your world. But remember, I told you there are five principles, right? Principle number one is the principle of what? Consciousness. Know the gift that you have. 1 Samuel 9, verse 9. I am the seer. He knew he could see. Know what you have. Know it. There are many gifts, but know the one that you have. I have the gift of working for miracles. I have the gift of faith. I have the gift of healing. I have the gift of word of knowledge. I know. So when I come into a meeting, I'm looking for the one the Holy Ghost will on. So there are times I finish preaching, it's gift of faith. I make a bold declaration. There are times I finish preaching, it's word of knowledge. I'll be checking. There's somebody on the second row here. You have a pain on your left breast. Where are you? The person is you. There's another person close to that AC. You had an accident, your left leg, you can't walk. Yeah, so I'm the one. Stand up. When those two happen, the place will open. If it's faith, when I finish preaching, I say, listen, I want you to understand what I've taught. I want you to know the efficacy. So now, everybody who is sick, stop the keyboard. They will say, Omo, now wow. See, Omo. But in faith, I have picked what God wants to do. And I'll say, in the name of Jesus, everybody who is sick here, be healed. As I'm finished, I say, if you are, check your bodies. Now, if you are healed, come here. It's faith. I know it. So when I'm ministering, I'm checking which of my weapons with the Holy Ghost are light upon. If you don't have the consciousness,
you will not manifest it.
Number two, I said it's a principle of faith. If you don't create a faith atmosphere, gifts will not work. That's why most times we tell you, tomorrow is miracle service. It's faith we are activating. So as we say it, everybody's consciousness and everybody's heart is geared towards miracle. Because when faith is activated, God works. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, whoever cometh to him must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't open faith, God won't work. Number three, I said, is the principle of unction. Don't come dry. Stir yourself up. In Luke 10:17, the Bible said on a certain day, 5:17, it said Jesus was teaching. The power of God was present to him. There was unction. In Luke 6:19, he said they sought to touch him. And he said as many as touched him, virtue left him. So there was virtue. There was unction. Spend time to pray. Spend time to worship. Fast regularly and meditate on God's word. You must know what generates unction in your life. You must know it. Me, I live a fasted life. Because I know I need to be light to be able to minister. So you will hardly find a year where I don't fast for many months. I live fasting. My people know. Unless I know that it's telling on my health, you can never catch me eating breakfast or lunch. I operate that way. And then I spend a lot of time in worship. Because sounds tear me. So my phone has different playlists. You will see favorite. You will see most favorite. You will see most favorite. You will see hymns. You will see floating worship. I have them. Then you see praise. You see rugged praise. It depends on which one my spirit desires. As I'm walking, I sense it. If I know it's praise, I unlock it. And as it's praying, it's watering me. It's watering me. And then I spend time in prayer. I don't come out of my room unless I have an appointment until 12 noon. I start my day on the altar. I'm lying on the bed, I'm talking to God. I stand up, I'm walking around. Because there must be unction. You don't know where the greatest demand of your ministry will come from. And so at all times, you must be ready. Sometimes you are entering the office, somebody comes with an issue, you just speak. But there was unction. In Mark 1:35, they say, early in the morning, Jesus went to a quiet place, solitary place. He said, there he prayed. He generates unction before he goes out. There are many dry Christians. They come with dry revelation. And they are quoting scripture. Nothing happens. Because there's no unction. Number four, I said there must be a principle of what? Desire and expectation. If you want giftings to work, expect it to. Pastor Chris was speaking of many years ago. He said, T.L. Osborne was talking with a preacher. And the preacher said to T.L. Osborne, he said, why is it that when you pray, people who have cancer are healed? When you pray, people who walk on what, on which chair stand up, people with crutches drop them. But me, when I pray, people only fall down. And T.L. Osborne told him, that's what you want to see. That's why you are seeing it. Because the gift flows in the direction of your desire and expectation. So if you want to come for a meeting and you are talking, people are falling down and everywhere is charged, you will see it every day. But if you want people to be genuinely helped so that cancer will dematerialize, so that the lame person will walk, as you start cultivating that desire and as you start expecting it, the unction, the gift will start flowing in that direction. So it's not difficult to walk in the gift, but what is the nature of your desire? What is, when you go for a service, is it just utterance you are looking for to speak mysteries so that people will say, this guy is deep, this guy is deep. You will hear this guy is deep forever. Look at the move of God now in the body of Christ. It's about deep, deep, deep. Everybody talking deep. And those who are poor are poor. Those who are sick are sick. Those who are dying are dying. The power has not yet come. Because that's what we desire. We want people to see us as spiritual men who know spiritual things. So when we come, we carry some spiritual posture. We do some things. We talk from third heaven. And we are talking third heaven. Cherubims are coming. Blind people are blind. Lame people are lame. Crippled people are crippled. What is the problem? Something is wrong with our desire. We don't really love the people. We just want the people to praise us. We want the people to hail us as spiritual men. And at the end of the day, that's what we get. That's why they see apostles and prophets. They rank them as men of stature. Go to the meeting of men of stature and see what happened. Somebody says, I'm seeing a cherubim here. Somebody says, 600 angels entered this meeting. 600 angels? And one deaf ear has not opened. No cripple is walking. No blind eye is seeing. And there are 600 angels. Those are your angels. They are weak angels. Go and feed them. Desire. Desire. See, desire this thing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he said, desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. Pursue them. Run after them. See, tell yourself, every day I walk out, something miraculous must happen. I can't talk to people and they are normal. When I speak, doors open. When I speak, cripples walk. When I speak, cancers dematerialize. It's those desires that make us see the results. Why do you think people come here and they tell us, you spoke and the door opened? Somebody gave me a help. Because I genuinely want to see the people move. I don't want to see poor people, weak people surrounding me. So it's not enough to come for a service and I preach the same card. The apostle of mysteries. See the kind of deep revelation you have. No, that's not my desire. I want those who hear me for their stories to change. The Bible said, poor men, beggarly men, charlatan, weak men came to David in Cave Adullam. When David finished with them, they became mighty warriors. And when their stories were told, he said, Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Who knew that that guy was a broken man? He met David. He said he fought with a spear. His hands were cleaved. His hands. He fought over 800 men and he slew a whole battalion. Because when he met David, something came out of David that changed him. He said, Shammah, the son of Agee. Oh my God. Who knew that these were broken men? Suddenly, they became veterans. How can men who were in debt, when David wanted to build God a house, these guys donated gold, silver, bronze, diamond. Where did they get it from? Because David turned them from charlatans to veterans. That's why, listen, when you are doing the ministry, don't look for big men. Share your gift. Love the people genuinely. See what the anointing on your life will turn them to. The vulcanizer that came to you. The beggar that came to you. The poor man that came to you. The young campus student that came. Sit on them and pour that thing on top of them. A day will come, that campus student can become the richest businessman in that city. A day will come, that vulcanizer can become the prophet over a nation. Because you desired it. And as you desired it, the oil from your life kept flowing. Barren women can become mothers in Israel. Blind men can give direction to the body of Christ. Poor men can sponsor the agenda of God. See our problem. People start ministry, they are talking politely and talking politically so that the rich men in society can come. Are you the one that made them? You didn't make them. You don't know what it means to make men. Why do you think Jesus went to fishermen? I carry something. That thing can change anybody. And so he went to the river bank. Follow me. I will make you. The thing I carry makes men. That's what gift has come to do. I will make you. And when Jesus left, the Bible said, this be the man that turned their walls upside down. They have become captains. They have become generals. They have become apostles. They have become leaders over generations. Until today, they are studying the writings of Peter in Harvard University. Rivers. Rivers of living waters,
out of my belly shall flow,
out of my belly
shall flow.
Rivers,
oh, rivers,
rivers of living waters, out of my belly shall flow. Everything you need is in you. Sharpen it. Pastor Chris told us the story many years ago. He said when they started, they will come to them and say, it's children's church. Because almost everybody was campus people. It's only one elderly woman that used to come. Children's church. Some people were talking diplomatically. Politicians went there. There's nothing wrong in big people going there. But don't look at people. Develop what you carry. You will raise men. Bishop Oedipo said, God told him, don't look for money. He said, make men. Money will come. Because there's something you carry. Even that your business, allow your gift to shine upon it. And see how that business can rise from nothing to become something that the globe will sought after or seek after. God knew when he gave us giftings that those giftings had the power to change our story. I prophesy over you. Every grace and every gift on your life is activated tonight. So then the river flow begins to bring every death into life. It's the life-giving river. So let it flow right here, right now. When the river flows,
and the river flows,
to bring every death into life. He's the life-giving river. So let it flow right here,
right now.
When the river flows,
and the river flows,
to bring every death into life.
The life-giving river, oh, let it flow right here, right now.
So out of my belly shall flow,
out of my belly shall flow,
the flow, river,
oh, river,
rivers of living waters, here, here, here. There's something in your life. You are not ordinary. God invested so much in you. That's why when you fell, he couldn't let you. He came to restore and to redeem you. You may have the gift of prophecy. You may have the gift of tongues. You may have the gift of interpretation of tongues. You may have the gift of faith. You may have the gift of workings of miracles. And you may have the gift of healing. I speak over you now. There are some of you here. What God put on you that is dormant will wake up now. The anointing is about to descend on you. Ushers, help me bring 7 of them quick. Because this is the end of an era. And this is the beginning of another. I decree and declare, every dimension of God you carry, let it rest now. Bring them. Let me lay this hand on them now. Activation. Activation. Your hands in my direction, and those of you watching online, you can stretch your hand towards your screen. Father, 2 things will happen now. Something has hit me. Stretch your hands here, Father. Now let there be an awakening. Let there be an activation wherever they are standing, from the left to the right, from the front to the back. To those watching online, take that gift. Take that fire. Makatakaria. Beregata. Barak. Dakatina Zanza. Berakatata. Zaza. Mento. Kapakarisa. Bragatina, man, Blakaya. Take that gift.
Once again,
those of you watching online, right here in your room, by the power of the risen Christ, Atelina, Maracata, Atelaga, Suta, I decree an activation. Let that gift be a welcome. Take it in the name of Jesus. We go far. So let's stop. The second thing that will happen now is that God wants to do miracles. And it's by the gift of faith. So hear me. I'll make three declarations now. By Sunday, if they don't happen, I'm fake. I know this thing. Now, everybody here that the devil has planted something. Maybe there's a growth in your body. Maybe something is moving in your body. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command all the growth to dematerialize. I command every movement to come out of your body. Those of you who feel hot sensations, creating problems, in the name of Jesus, I cause that affliction. Be healed now. On your life. Some of you, it has caused rejection. Some of you, it has caused dryness and drought. Nothing in your hand has prospered. As a sign, between now and Sunday, you will receive a gift that you have not received this year. Take it in the name of Jesus. And finally, hear this. I'm seeing people who are bedridden. Even doctors have given up on them. I decree every verdict of death written, laws written, designed to take people out between now and Sunday. I decree recoveries. I decree restoration. I decree healing. Rise up from that affliction. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We are out of time. I made three declarations. Number one, movements in the bodies, growth in the body, and sensations, hot sensations, all kind of inconvenience, they are banished forever. Number two, embargoes are lifted. Some of you will receive financial breakthrough in the next 5 days. It will shock you. Because doors of opportunity are open for you now. People whose promotions are delayed, supernaturally, there will be a rising. There will be a lifting. In the name of Jesus. And those condemned to death, that is the miracle of restoration and recovery. You will not die. People will testify. They gave them days to live. They were dying, but supernaturally they came back. And by extension, I also decree, everything in your life that is dead, it comes back to life now. Thank you, Father. There are many doctors' reports that will change this week. Many doctors' reports. from diabetes to asthma to hepatitis to HIV to cancer, I decree reversal of many reports from the doctors. In the name of Jesus, perfection. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.